हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanopanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 31, Time Measurements. Tala, Adhyaya Prakashika. The current chapter deals with tala, time units or rhythm. Laya, three types of tempo. Yati, three types of movement. Parni, three ways of beginning. And chandas, metrical cycles. In regards with the importance of tala in a dramatic performance, the author states as follows. The seven types of traditional songs are all recognized by their tala, and hence one should, with every effort, learn their talas. One cannot be a singer or player of instruments unless one knows the tal. Verses 1-14, three kinds of tala. Definitions of tala and kala. The tala is of the solid class, gana, and it relates to a division into kalas, kalapata, and to an observation of the tempo, laya. Those who apply talas in a musical performance should know kalas to be the measurement of time, tala. Five nimishas will make one matra, and the kala arises from the grouping of matras. And five nimishas are also known as the period of interval between two kalas at the beginning, at the time of singing. Okay, five nimishas, a matra, kala, bindha. Five,
So, we measure in matras. And right. Then, kala is the beat, what we call. But
yes.
When it is fast, then the beat is faster.
Right.
But the standard beat is the middle one, which is three matras, means five nimishas into three.
Okay, it's 15.
15 means 15 by 11th of a second. So generally when we do, in 11 seconds, in 15 seconds we make 11 beats.
Okay.
That is the standard. But when it's a fast beat, then you make double of it.
Double
of it.
Right. The other half. Yeah. So in other words, one is just the point of measurement. Like we saw before, you have the shrutis. So they're just the positions, and then you pick your notes, the seven notes from that. Then, what you put is the emphasis, how you combine that, how you do the going up and down and all that, then that makes it into the musical element. So here is that your kala is simply going to be, the
beat.
like you have a metronome?
Yes, yes.
That's that. That's the kala. The tala will be like the swaras. You know, it's where that beat is. Like you see is like an adital. You have a one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes.
So those ones that hit, those are talas. Like that. And then the other ones, they have other names and all that. So these are the main things. That's where you see the drum will hit there. And this one will be, it has a feeling, but there's nothing hitting. You know, that'll be that, it'll be empty. Like that. Megali, they call it empty. Nothing hits there. But it's important that nothing hits there because it has its significance and nothing's there.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, you have like you want to start something. You know, the conductor's there. It's up like this. That's empty.
Yes.
When it goes down, that's when it starts. But this is significant. Without this, how do you know when that is? You know what I'm saying? It's just there are ways in which the musician can then identify time.
Yes.
Because you're going to have time and you're going to have the rasa. These are the two things that you're dealing with. Creation means these two. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difference. They see only time and space. But what's in the space? It's rasa. Time is movement and this, that. They see movement, things are happening and all that, but what's it for? Nothing. That's why they're so dry.
Time and the three gunas, Maharaj. And then the three gunas in terms of sahitya are what we saw before. Clarity, vigor, and then sweetness.
Hmm.
In all the musical performances, it should be the clarity of the voice or the instrument, and the sweetness and the vigor, like where it's intense, where it is light.
Yes. So it says? So in other words, you have the personal, and you have then applying activity within the personal.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Very personal.
Yes.
Distraction.
Hmm?
Personal distraction.
Yes. Everybody notices. Is that all going in the basket?
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't catch.
It's hard when you came and everybody's on your case. I don't understand when you just came and everybody's on your case. Just think really fast.
Yeah. See, as if you want no one to notice that, then like we saw Gopal Bhant, then you have to do something to distract. See, is that the king was saying to... That now is the, you know, because in Bengal, it's a particular fish. I think it's the Elish Mach. You know, that's their like pinnacle of fish or something. So when that's the season, everybody's going nuts about that fish. And so when it comes to that, nothing else is important. It's only about the fish. And Gopal Bhant said something about, no, it's not about the fish. I could bring a fish in here, no one would care. And then the king took the challenge, says, no, if you bring in one of these fish at this time of the year, everybody will notice the fish. And so now you had a challenge, and Gopal Bhant had to, you know, when kings, it has to be practical. You can't say something and then, oh no, I was just talking. No, you said it, you do it. Right? So then, you know, he went home. You know, then the next morning, you know, it's time to shave. He shaved half his face. Like that, and then he got out some of his, you know, wife's, you know, cosmetics and painted one half of his face red and one part yellow, and then he put on all these old mismatching ripped clothing and everything like that that had, you know, nothing to do, you know, like, you know, one leg is sticking out, one leg's not, and, you know, things like that. Then he went to the market and he bought a fish. Then from that moment, then he started walking crazy, dealing crazy, and everything like that. And so there's a whole big ruckus is going on around him as he's going towards the palace. And then he comes there because, you know, they know who he is, you know, but why he's behaving like this. The guards let him through. And then he comes into with this whole riot going on around him, coming into the court right in front of the king. And when he comes in and all that, then the king's like, you know, what is this nonsense? You're making this whole thing where, you know, this is serious. We're having court. You can't do this nonsense because he's the court jester. So he says, you can't do this thing, you know, this and that. And you're yelling and screaming about this. Get out of here and this and that. And then you know, he just goes out of that crazy character and just sort of said, did you notice the fish? Nobody noticed the fish. So that's their thing. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. So in other words, you have the so many nimishas, and then those together, five nimishas, we know as the period of intervals between two kalas, right? So they make one matra. So five nimishas, that's then you know, a matra, you know, that you could say. Because you have to have something to go by. You know, just like it said in the Suaras, you go by the sound of the peacock, sound of the bull, sound of the cuckoo, like this. And so you know where the intervals are. And so then you're starting from that. You have some mechanical place. You start from, because nimisho will be the blink of an eye. That you can work with. Mm-hmm. And then you work out that, and then you have those. So then you know what's the interval between the singing and everything like that. And from these, again, the tempo is made according to the time of kalas into which matras are divided. The tempo layas of three kinds: quick, druta, medium, madhya, and slow, vilambita. And among these, the medium tempo determines the normal kala. Pramana, kala. Right? So you'll take medium as the normal. So therefore, if you want to do something, you start slow, which means below that. Then you come up to that, and then fast means above that. Because otherwise, if someone starts at the wrong place, then you can't go. You ever seen sometimes like the singer will start too high, and then when it goes to the high, you can't sing it. You know, they'll begin going, yeah, and then when the high start, they sing real low down. You know, yeah, weird things like that. Or they start off fast, and then when they want to go fast, it's already too fast. You know, so stuff like that. Then so this is so establishing the medium, you know, and it's already said how much is the medium going, you know, what are the matras and all that. And so then that speed is what is medium. Slow means half that. Fast means double that. Because you have to be able to keep the beat. So if you go double that, I can do two in this time. Or in this, I do half in this time. So we tend to just make everything go faster. We make these matras go faster. But no, the matras stay the same. So when they're playing the music, then the tambura, it's playing that matra.
Yes.
And it doesn't change through the whole performance. Yes. That's why the person playing the tambura is not the guy that can't do anything else. They have to be an accomplished musician.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And then they play. Because they keep that beat.
Yes.
And like we were saying in the, I don't know how it came up the other day, the gamelan in the Indonesian. They'll have 300 guys on these percussion instruments. But I think they're all solid. They're different kinds of bells and everything like that. Go completely nuts on that. But the most senior, most mature musician, he has one that he just plays the matra. That's all he does the whole time. Because everybody else, with all these things going on, would start to move, go faster, slower, and they can keep the beat. Does that make sense? So you have to have that. That's always going, and then they start half that. Then they come up to that speed, then they go twice that. You know, more than that, you know, what's the point? You know, like I say, playing Flight of the Bumblebee in 45 seconds, it's like you can't even tell what's going on. You know, you did it, you know, you're so expert. Yes, of course, you're the best. But as far as appreciating it, it needs to be a bit slower. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's not a question of to be whimsical.
No, you can't be whimsical. You see nothing. The shrutis are set. The what they do is set. The time is set. Everything's set, and then from that you work, because you want to get effect. Human beings work in this way. That's how you do it. You want something other than that, then you have to do something else. Like someone showed the other day, it was interesting in music. You know how you have sometimes in the what do you call it? I don't know. You've got metal, the music. You know, you have death metal, this metal, that metal, all these things. So they just yell, and they have this rough, coarse voice. So somebody had taken this rooster, you know, the male chicken, and they like to, you know, do their thing. So this one, this rooster, he would make this, he wouldn't just do one thing, he'd just make this one noise. He'd just go, ah, like this. And he did it for a huge, long time until the guy just ran out of air and fell over. But what was funny is when he was doing the sound, then whoever was making the video put over it, you know, this metal music, all the drums and everything else, and it perfectly matched. You know, the guy could be definitely the lead singer in any one of the bands. So, you know, you have a different taste and you end up, you know, like crickets, they're making music. Donkeys are making music.
Yes.
You know, they're all making music. So it's just, you know, that. So this defines human music. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay.
And even even the demons appreciate this music.
Yes.
The only music aspect. They may not appreciate the singing.
The raga.
The meanings of the words.
Yes, yes, yes. Because the demons will like the tall, and they'll like the instrumental. That's why you see nowadays you just have tall and instrumental. And even sometimes, as we mentioned, sometimes these tabla players and that, they got to show themselves off, because why do they need to be, you know, held back by having to play for a sitar or something like that? They can do their own performance. And so it just gets more and more down in the lower. But the meanings of the words, that's what's then for the devatas. So that's what we were saying, is the song itself, the dhruva, the padas and that, that's what's the important message. Then that message has a particular emotional presentation. That then has the rag. Then to match that rag and the mood, then you have the beat, the tal. And so that all goes together. But when people just want to enjoy the experience, not what you're talking about, and then the elevation of consciousness, they just want what's there, then it just has these other two. Like once I think someone was talking with Prabhupada something about classical music, or something came up, and he played for him a performance, I think, by Ravi Shankar. And he played, and Prabhupada listened to the whole thing, you know, the whatever it is, you know, you have the records and that, so it would go, you know, whatever it is, half an hour. Prabhupada listened to the whole thing. You know, just listening nicely and all that. And then afterwards you said, said it's just sense gratification. You know? So it's not that the tall is sense gratification or the music is sense gratification. It's where the words, where is it about Krishna? So that was an introduction that we saw, that even during I think the first, it may have been Shahjahan or Aurangzeb, one of them, they took the words out. But otherwise, then with, you know, Babar, Humayun, Akbar, definitely with them, the musicians, they would be singing the dhruvas, because they liked the classical music. They would be singing songs about Radha and Krishna. Even though they're Muslims, the king's Muslim, the court's Muslim, but that's what you did. When you played veena and you sang dhruvas. And you sang about Radha and Krishna. But then with one of those, then they decided, you know, why do we have to, you know, hear all this? You know, we're Muslims. And so then they dropped the words. So it just means it drops it down that you're only interested in the sense gratification, not the religious aspect of it, the uplifting of consciousness. Like that. So they made a mistake, is that the others before were actually getting spiritual benefit. Well, then they took that part out. You know, the medium was the music, but you know. So that's what you're doing here, is you're using it as a base. Like you have techniques of cooking, and then you're doing that to cook for Krishna. You know, it's within a menu that you're cooking for Krishna, then it all works nice. But if you take out the Krishna part, you still have the technique, you still have the things and that, but it'll now be mundane. So that's the whole thing, is that it's not that you throw out the whole thing that it's mundane. No, it's not using this for Krishna, that's what's mundane.
Yes.
So that makes sense. Yes. So that's how they could have such a high level of music in that. Because it's all about, it's all for understanding Krishna. That's the purpose.
Also, Maharaj.
Yes.
It applies to all fields. Like many times, many cultured rich gentlemen, they come to our temple. Sometimes we have like a very small place, like an extensive center, and they have prasadam. It's not about the richness of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we cook and offer to Krishna.
Yes.
That's what they taste and that's what they like it about it.
Yes, yes.
And we have more, then we cook more rich, like everything. But
yeah.
I have seen, like, one of our professors in college, he used to ask us to... He was helping devotees.
Right.
On every Saturday, we used to make one special kind of khichdi we call tehri.
Okay.
Just for him.
Okay.
He likes that way, and it's very simple.
Right.
I used to carry when I was really, why is asking for this? Like, hey, the professor, he can cook like everything.
Right.
But it's that devotion with which devotee is
cooked. Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? So the medium is there, but it's because it's connected to Krishna. That's what makes it special. That's why the devotees, they do simple. They follow these Prabhupada gave tunes and all that. Like he hears those early tunes, like in the 60s, that devotees sing. Because devotees from that time, they sing different tunes than others. Because they were based on Prabhupada's tunes. But because devotees didn't know music, that was as close as they could get to what Prabhupada was singing. Like that. But it was based off of what Prabhupada sang. It was just their understanding of it. And then, you know, in between, you know, they pick up things from here, from, you know, what they catch, you know, when they come to Mayapur and this and that. And that, and then some, you know, then go into more detailed, you know, sometimes at the Kirtan Melas, and that those who are better at, then they bring in some of those traditional tunes. So these are there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you have these nice tunes because they're attractive to Krishna. It's to attract Krishna's attention, not ours. Because if Krishna likes it, we'll like it. So the same way is that Krishna likes the Khichdi, the professional likes it. So it's not about the technicality or anything like that. Because sometimes we think, oh, we have to do this and that. But then if you lose the devotion, then there's no taste. Because even we do something fancier, it'll never be as fancy as what karmis can do. So our attractiveness is that is this offering to Krishna. That's the unique flavor that you can't get. Even you go to Indra's court, you won't get that flavor. And I'm sure he's got good cooks. You know, I doubt he's just sitting there eating masala muri. You know, they set over up on the side of the court like a little so it looks like a platform of a train station, you know, and then he goes over there and gets his muri. No, I kind of doubt it. Okay. We're up for verses 1 to 14, three kinds of tala, to now verses 480 to 486, importance of the tala. So in other words, 480 verses on tala.
Describes like what are the various, first it describes the technicalities of whatever the time measurements are,
right.
What can be, and then there is called Trayashtra Chaturashtra, like that. 6-beat one, 8-beat one, you can go up to 16.
Oh yeah, 32. No, that could have been, just that much could have been mentioned. Well, you could maybe put those in a briti,
yes,
so somewhere.
Right. But it's explained, it's a little complex.
Yeah, yeah, no, but only that much. That's why you put it in a briti, you don't have to go. Is that you're starting off with something, and so you're going to have a basic beat. And so then you're going to have less than that, more than that. So let's say we have Das Bahira, it's 8 beats, right? Now you can have half of that as 4 beats. You know, that'll be the boom diddy, boom diddy, boom diddy that they play all the time. Like that. But then you have double that, that'll be 16. That'll be a standard. And basically that's as far as classical will go. Like that. But we'll take that 16 and make it into 32 in classical kirtan, Narottam Das Thakur. From 32 to 64, 128, 256. You actually have, no one plays those anymore. Like that. But our previous Madanga teacher, he had mantras. He had the mantras there. But I think he knew how to play up to 64. Like that. You know, they're really slow. And it's like, because you're having the beats, and then like we said before, is you have the ones in between, you know, like that, and the 8. But this, you have the da, you know, like this, quiet, pool, yeah, roll, and that's the second one. You know, and like that, it goes. Like that, so.
Also, Maharaj, these are all fours, counting in fours, 2, 4, 8, 16.
Yeah.
The Trayashra is you count in threes, 3, 6, 12, 24,
yeah.
48.
Yeah, so we generally start with 6. You know, then so you have that, you have the 4, 8 like this, and then going up, then you have the 6, 12, you know, we don't do more than that, 24, but then you also have 7, and then you can do 14, 28, like this. So depending how you like those, I think there's also 10 off of 5, the Jaffi Lofa.
Yeah,
that's also mentioned. Yeah, then where you said that, you know, the 1-2 Kartal beat, that'll be either 7 or 6. Like that, and then there's Jaffi Lofa, which is 10, which is also done kind of off the same thing. What's that song?
Some bhajans we use.
Yeah, there's one specific one that you might not get. It uses that. It's very far out. It kind of has this offbeat, but these very fast things in between. It's very, very unique. So you have all these different flavors you can get, right? In observing these, one ought to make great efforts. For a dramatic performance, natya is based on the taal. And the same rule holds good in case of playing. That means the natya is based on the taal. It means it's based on timing.
Yes.
It means the time that the guy comes in and then the next guy or when he exits. It's all timing. You say something, he says something, he gets it wrong. The timing's off.
Yes.
You know, so timing is very important. So it'll all be based off of these things, that you get that timing. So the music is what's going to make it being happening. And then from music, then you have timing, and then when he speaks and when he does things, then it... Yeah. And the same rule holds good in case of playing all the musical instruments in a dramatic performance. For the taal relating to the timing always gives it proper measure. Right? So then you're playing in a particular... way the beats are put together, that's your taal. For a song deficient in varna or having a superfluous varna is held within measure by the taala. Hence, this should be carefully studied by the producers of plays. So something doesn't have so much, you're just playing elevator music or something, but if it's in the taal, it still works. You know, and then when you play something significant, because maybe something just in between, you're just doing that. Like I don't know, have you ever heard sometimes... You have the musician will be playing something, and then he'll just kind of stop doing that, and he'll just do something simple, play two notes, just go dun 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 dun, dun, and then he'll go back to playing and stuff like that. So there's nothing there, but it keeps the beat. You know, or one musician's playing, the other guy's just playing some simple little loop that keeps the beat, but you know, adds a little background flavor. There's nothing significant, so it's, you know, there's no real meaning to it. So, but it still has to be in the beat. So it's all about the, you know. So because you have this math and its importance, therefore, what do you call those? Nuclear physicists think that they're the cat's meow when it comes to, you know, knowledge and education. But the point is it's about expressing the rasa, which they have no idea even exists. Yeah. The seven types of traditional songs are all recognized by their taala. Hence, one should, with every effort, learn their taalas. One cannot be a singer or player of instruments unless one knows the taala. Hence, one should observe the rules given above. You know, because some people just want to learn something and this and that. But if you can't put it in the beat, you can't use it. You know, you go into your garage and, you know, dig out your father's old guitar. But unless you can bring it into taal, you can't use it. Right, so therefore, you much of the time traditionally when you played, when you did even scales in that, it had to be within rhythm. You know, same with you know, the practices, the fingering practices on, you know, on the vina and all that, or vocal. It all had to be. It was always practiced in rhythm. You never did anything out of rhythm. You find some people doing things however they like, but no, it's about rhythm.
This is the first thing to learn.
Yes. Whatever you're doing with music, because it has to be within the rhythm. Because even you're doing nice playing, if it's not in rhythm, like I knew one devotee, very, very well appreciated in that, but he wasn't very good at rhythm. So all because he was so good at singing, he had such a good mood. Not that he was a fancy singer, just he was very devotional. Very much appreciated. This would have been like back in the 70s and anything, you know, I'm not sure, sometime in the 80s. Very, very respected like that. But he didn't have a good sense of timing. So the others that would play with him would have to make sure that, you know, when he goes off, you just kind of extend your drum beat a little bit and catch it. And then it goes. Because it happened now and again. It wouldn't be all the time. But now and again, it would throw it off. You know, but others would have to fill that in, and then it worked. So, you know, so that's why that's the first thing that's learn everything you do. You're playing drum; it's all off of beats. You're learning singing; it's off of beats. You're learning the instrumental; it's off of beats. You practice that way. You know, you can't just do however you like. It has to be, you know, like that. Verses 87 and 92. The three kinds of laya and yatis. There are three kinds of laya, temple, which such as quick, druta, medium, madhya, and slow, vilambit. This temple is made manifest in different margas of songs and playing of instruments, and it is an essential aspect, literally the soul, of these two, singing and playing of musical instruments. It means what speed you're playing it. You know, because certain things will give a mood if it's going fast, certain things if it's going slow, like that. In these margas, there are, besides three yatis related to the temple.
The yatis are those movements margas. Again, there are three ways how it can move. There's a quick, medium, and slow.
Right.
Now, they move based on the beginning and all, and there are three other ways how they move and all. It's more technical aspect.
Okay. 32. The Dhruva songs. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having discussed the rule of Tala in the previous chapter, the current chapter elaborates on the Dhruva songs. Abhinava Gupta states that the Dhruva is so called because in it words, varnas, melodic movements, Alankara, musical ornaments, Laya, temple, Jati, melodic types, and Pani, ways of beginning, are harmoniously fixed, dhruvam, in relation to each other. Right? Because it means in your song, all these are brought together in one place. You know? You know, it's just like when you start. It means you have parama, it starts on the up. You know, the music? It doesn't start on the beat. So that's why it says beginnings, because you can start right on it, you can start after that, you can start after... You have a place you can start. And if you, because that's sometimes people, they can sing once it's going. You know, it's like, once you push them, they can ride the bicycle, but they can't start it themselves. You know? So in the same way as they can't get it going, you have to help them. Then once they're going, now they can sing nicely. Like that, yeah.
Also, if you're not a good player of instruments, like when I play kartal, I wait for the mridangam player to start.
And then you follow
then
that.
Then I catch
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
But with the
can't,
singer,
can't
I can
catch.
Never
yeah,
catch.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes. Yeah, so you just, you need something to, so that's the you have to bring them all together. He further says, the composition, pada samuha, structured as per a rule, niyata, and that which supports adhara, singing, should be called dhruva. Dhruva, gitya, adhara, niyata, pada, samuha. In another place, Abhinavagupta explains dhruva as the basis or the support, adhara, on which the song rests. Just as the painting is supported by wall, the dhruva song is supported by pada, word. And pada in turn is supported by the chandas, meter. Abhinavagupta. What's NS?
Natya Shastra.
Oh, Natya Shastra 32.8. Oh, okay. He gives a commentary.
Yeah.
Abhidhava Gupta, he's a commentator how long ago?
11th century.
11th century, so 900 years ago.
Very famous.
Yeah, very famous.
He's the one who commented on the whole Natya Shastra.
Means back when people understood what was going on.
So sometimes
he's
quoted by our
acharyas. Okay. So the dhruva song is supported by the pada of the words, because the words are what's the point they're making, and that then so the words that you're using is what you're trying to express.
Yes.
So then the song is made up of what the words are. The words have meaning, then it has importance.
Yes.
Right, and then that is by the meter. You know, it's how it's moving and stuff like that. So that's why you can get is like, let's say you have something that what they're saying has no value, but because they maintain the meter, it seems like you're dealing with something important. You know, I mean, otherwise known as rap. You know, and these kind of things, it's just, they're keeping the beat. That's the whole point of that, is just how they keep the beat and how quickly they are able to stick things in and put words in and all that, even though it may have no real important meaning. Because they keep that, because that's what he's saying. The words are supported by the chanda, so they keep the meter. They put in words, but the actual point of the song doesn't have, there's no varna, there's no real meaning to it.
Yes.
So there's no substance. But that's the whole point. Since the music is supporting the drama, it has to have substance. So therefore, then only you know how you say, then what's his name, Dravida Prabhu. He sometimes does takes the Gita verses and that and does them in like rap. So he brings substance to the genre. Like that.
So now it is why some people can have some success is through the technique like time measurement.
Yes.
Like that, even if there is no meaning.
That's so many of the popular songs is because there's a unique way they put together the beat and everything and how they start. And so they're following the rules. They don't know the rules. It's there because, like we said before, previous life, they happen to be a big musician, and now they end up, you know, somewhere in South America with long hair, you know, and so then you know they become popular.
Yes.
And so because of that, and so what you remember is that beat and stuff.
Yes.
The beat is what stands out. Then it will be, you know, then it's supposed to be the words, and so you know words because I like to see some devotees are sometimes singing words of a song. You know, just because the beat's cool and everything like this, they have no idea what the words mean. You know? And it's better they don't.
Yes.
In English?
Huh?
In English?
No, in English. Even if it's not, yeah, sometimes they also have the song in Spanish. They know that, they don't know what it means. But I mean, even in English, you don't know, because they're using slang, the guys, and so you don't know what they're singing. You know? So it, you know, if he's, it's natural word means one thing, but how it's being used is another thing, you know. So, no, yeah. So, like that.
They say it's the test for you to, if you know the language, then you can really understand the songs. That's the meaning, that you know the language.
That's the indication. If you want if you understand the slang.
Oh, I see. If you understand the slang, yes.
Somebody say cold turkey.
What?
Cold turkey, what's that mean?
He kept the turkey in the refrigerator? Yeah, you don't know. Yes, exactly. Yeah, because then, it's usage. That's why I was mentioning before, is that you can't do a drama in a particular place without considering the usage of that place. Otherwise, then, you know, the words mean something different. I remember, so the Swamis, they were in S.A., and there's a saying that they say there when they get all, everybody gets fired up. And it's similar like Hari Bol, but it's another way they say like that. But it's a local thing that, you know, when things get exciting, they say that. And so then, you know, for fun they were saying, you know, because the locals would say, and they were having a joke like that. Then they went to Russia and they were doing kirtan, the two of them. And then, you know, they got into a really good, you know, kind of, I say, playing spirit, and they started using that word and all that. And then someone pulled him to the side and said, in Russian it means this. And it was like, oh, okay. So that's the things. You have to know what the local things are. Otherwise, what you're saying may have a completely different meaning there, or value, or, you know, something. You know, so you might have to make an adjustment for that.
That's why Prabhupada introduced Sanskrit everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Sanskrit, the songs in Bengali, and, yeah. Thus, in the Dhruva Gana, the words of the song are regulated by chandas. So then, the words, because you want to have a meaning, so you pick words, but then the chanda regulates it. So how the beat falls in the chanda, then you have to have words that work like that. That's why then there's synonyms. And so you pick the synonym that most means what it is, but it also it fits the chanda.
What is the chanda?
The chanda is the meter.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Short.
This long time. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. That fits that meter. And so in the eight syllable, the way, because we just take anything eight syllables on a stoop and you can chant it in the way, but it adjusts. There's so many different kinds of 8-meter things. Which one has the emphasis? Like you see in different Gita shlokas, it adjusts. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you choose the words to match. So like in Bhagavatam, I mean, you can basically sing it in a few meters. You have the eight verse, you have the 10, you have the 12, and then, of course, Brahma is always at the 14, like that. But those who know chanda and all that say that there's at least 500 chandas used in Bhagavatam. And it's like what's mentioned. You can have all four lines the same, or the first one thing, the second, the next, the first, the third, the what's matches with the first, and the fourth matches with the second. Or you can have one, two together, and then three, four is different. And then they're, you know, different how the meter's used. So like that. So for us, we don't notice it, but it still works, you know, so we can appreciate. But someone who knows technically, then they can see how they've used all these different aspects. Yes.
Like Sarvadharman Paritya, you quoted another verse, Abrahma Bhuvana Lokal. It's going up only. Sarvadharman Paritya, you go up, come down here.
Yeah.
But Abrahma Bhuvana Lokal, it's going up. And then Punaravartana Arjuna, it's coming down. It's a different one, though it is the same.
Yeah, still all with an eight. So that's what we were saying before, is you had the Kala. Kala is that, let's say it has eight beats.
Yes.
You know, we're just saying beats here means of points of measure. But within that, let's say it has, we were saying like Adital, it has three talls of where it's the beat. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So 1, 5, and 7 are the talls. And the other ones then are just the mantra. So the same way as in the song, it has, it means in the dhruva or in the shlokas, it has the same, when we have shlokas, it has that. That's why you see there's the long and the short. And so you can't just stick any word there. You have to have the one that has long there or short there. And then there's even other ways that how something can become long, even though it's technically not. And all that. That way you can make it match. Yes.
Also, I think based on that tal, then you choose the particular raga because the vadi and samvadi should match. On that one, because that words are emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
If the tal doesn't fall on that, if the tal is falling on something else, you cannot emphasize that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Means here, you just get an appreciation.
Yes.
You're not going to learn how to do this.
Not this course.
No, not this course. We'll have another course for that.
Another 4 years.
Yes, another 4 years. Yeah. And okay. Thus, in the Dhruva Gana, the words of the song are regulated by the chandas, and the words are then set to appropriate tunes and talas, because the chandas will match the talas. Right? And by that, then there'll be a particular tune that will naturally bring that out. Dhruva songs help to enhance the artistic sense of the important themes that occur in various situations in a play. Regarding the importance of the Dhruva songs in a dramatic play, Bharat Muni states the following, quote, "That which includes full notes, varnas, is embellished by instruments, relates to the three voice registers, has three yatis and three matras, gives joy, is harmonious, sama, and delicate, contains alankaras, is performed with ease," right? They're not struggling and making funny faces, "and has sweetness, is called a song par excellence." So thou, that together, that makes a song. So now if you wonder why some people sing and everybody likes it, it hits number one on the charts, other people sing and it bombs, it's because these things don't match. They may or may not know these things, but this is how it is. So by karma, they put it all together, they have a good song. Someone else doesn't.
The hit and trial method.
Sorry?
People do on the outer world, the hit and trial method. Oh,
yes.
This worked in this. Some, in another one, you put all the three together, it works.
Yeah.
But the very next one, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So that's the karma. But it's still, it's following these rules.
Yes.
Right? You know, in other words, the guy that looks like he's working so hard, you know, okay, you appreciate he's working hard, but the guy who looks like it's not any trouble at all, that's the one you appreciate. And so then it even mentions that the musicians, when they sit, they should sit nicely, have a smile on their face. You know, this thing where they're playing, and, oh, like that. That's not, no, they should have a smile as if it's nothing. You know, I do this every day. You know, it's like, you know, it's just it tickles the ends of my fingers. You know, it's just like that. That's the one should first of all bestow care on songs, for songs have been called the resting place, literally bed of the drama. The song and the playing of musical instruments being well executed, the performance of the drama does not encounter any risk. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's the foundation of that, the songs that hold it all together in this kind of performance. So previously you'd see as they would have so many songs would be in it, in any performance and all that. It's just part of the thing, because that brings out the... Because with the simple words and all that, you can very much bring out the emotion and that you want to affect. Otherwise, you'd have to do so much acting and so much other stuff to bring that out. You know, just like it said, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Yes. So, same with the song. You know, the song does, in few words, can do so much. Does that make sense?
You see, Maharaj, in India, with the Bollywood system.
Yeah, like that. But before, you used to have, even in the West, musicals. Yeah. And it was very big. And you see, some of these big musicals are still very well appreciated. Mm-hmm. Because it's the songs that you remember, not in between.
Also, in the 50s movies, when you have to say, like, if Krishna and then Shishupal is there, then they have to fight. And Krishna says something, it's in the recitation. Hmm. With the background music, everything, he recites a kind of verse, and it's like a song. Mm-hmm. So when we used to see movies, why there are 30 songs in the movie? Those are all recitations, for us are songs also. Because it has a metrical to everything with the background music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the meter, we also say is Bhagavad Gita, it's sung, yes. Because it has meter, it has that, yes. Has all the things of song,
yes.
But it may not have so much of a melody. It has that simple... You know, may only have like we're using the three notes, or you see Prabhupada, I think he chants 11 chapters of Gita, yes. Using a tune like that.
Krishna Maharaj did that once with that lady singer, very famous Indian one.
Nina Purushottam. Oh. It left a completely different impression when I heard that.
Okay.
He was
reading the translation and she was singing.
Okay. Singing this verse.
Yeah, the verse. Okay. Traditional tunes, it was like mind-blowing.
Okay, nice.
Mm-hmm. It was very popular at that time.
Yeah, it was cassettes.
Okay.
90s.
Okay. Nice. You also had, what's his name, did brought it with music. From England. He may have been the president in Soho. Then he took sannyas. Something with a P.
Purnachandra.
Purnachandra.
Yes. Purnachandra.
Yeah, he also did a thing with, yes. Gita, bringing in and yes. the conversations from the commentaries, yes. Of the acharyas.
Gita Mahatmya.
Okay.
No,
it was the full Gita.
It's full Gita, yes.
It was that, you know how there's purports where Arjuna says something,
yes.
And then there's this whole thing in between where Vishwanath says, then Arjuna Krishna said this and that. So he put all those into the and just he recited it, but in the background he had music?
Yes. Yes.
Like that. So it brings out a flavor.
Yes, sorry, it's called Gitamrita.
Gitamrita.
Mahatma Prabhu also did for Brahma Samhita
and
each Upanishad.
Oh, okay.
Music also.
Okay.
But he did it simple.
Yeah.
American kind of stuff.
Pop music.
Well, okay. Yeah.
No.
But it was all in the 90s. I guess that was the...
Yeah, well, because in the 90s it was all about sadhana and about things like that. And then because it was saying, oh no, this is sahajya, it was all thrown out, and so then if sadhana is not that, so what's left? Management! Hariba! Yeah. So, that's why the flavor changed.
They got devotees, the Brahma Samhita with Vidya Bhushan.
Yeah, he did, that'll be traditional. That Subramanya Swami, I mean, well, now he's known as Vidya Bhushan.
He did Brahma Samhita?
Yeah. The temple had him do it. Because he lives in Bangalore, he was friendly, and so then they went over and had him. Yeah, he does very, very nice. Very nice.
Wow.
You know, it'll be all in that Gamaka. It's all rags, but it's in the Gamak, so it's simple. Okay. Yeah. So like that. The point is that when you take these things and put it with the music and all that, then it takes on, it enhances it. So that's the whole idea. So that's what I'm saying, is it's the basis of the drama. So that when these things are there, then in between all the acting and all that has more meaning. Like that. Yes.
Maharaj, Gayatri also mentioned as a meter.
Yes.
So if we chant it like Westerners chant, is it like okay?
But it's because it's Vedic. It already has its way. It already has its melody. See, is classical doesn't have an inherent melody. It has an inherent chanda, and then a mood, and that with that you can put melodies that match. But with the Vedic mantras, they already have an inherent melody. So generally you wouldn't put, I mean you could, but that you don't, because it's important that they already have, you know, it's like Purusha Shukta. You don't put any old tune you want. It already has where the notes go. Sahasrashirsha. That's inherent. They're non-different than the syllables. So when it comes out in the breathing of the Lord, it comes out like that.
But you hear a lot of Indians, they play this drum directly, you know, with music.
Yeah, that you can. Point is, you can do anything, but you're technically not supposed to.
They only play Brahma Gayatri, the Pancharatrik ones, of course.
They're smartest and so on. That's all they know.
Because I heard it in shops, they play.
Yeah, yeah. No,
they
there's a very famous one, and a lot, you know, especially holy places and that, they love to play those. You know, like in Vrindavan, sometimes I don't know now, but before you'd hear somebody do some song on Krishna and all that, every shop is playing it.
Yeah.
You know, you can probably, what you should do is get them all to synchronize it, you know, like, you know, when they so every shop, it's all going at the same.
Wouldn't it, India?
That's true, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Also, this Gayatri Parivar, it's a competition to the Hare Krishna mantra. It started that.
Oh, okay, trying to bring that out. Yeah. But we wouldn't do it because it already has its melody and all that. But it's maybe it can do anything. But. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, also being that it's a mantra that for us is you know part of our what you're given. It's also generally not said out loud.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be the other reason why you wouldn't put music to it and make a thing out of it. But the Hare Krishna, it's not restricted by any of these rules. That's its principle. It's the source of anything. So it can carry all the flavors, because it is Krishna directly, and so then it can carry all. Well, then the Brahma Gayatri will be the Lord, but in a specific aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so there's things that may be able to be done. We wouldn't do them, but if others do them, that's their business. But we wouldn't do. So the current chapter elaborates on the different limbs of Dhruva songs and their classification according to the metrical patterns. Also, there's the discussion on the appropriate choice of Dhruva song according to the occasions and time of the day. The language and occasion suitable for the songs in a drama, the importance of songs for a successful dramatic production, and the qualities of singers and instrumental players. Because then you have to have just, you know, who can do what and everything. What's their attitude and all. Verses 1 to 36. Dhruvas and their limbs. Listen now from me about those types of songs which have been called Dhruvas by Brahmanas such as Narada and others. The seven traditional types of songs, which have seven different measures, are called Dhruvas. O Brahmanas, I shall discuss those songs in different meters, which, being created from those types, attain the status of Dhruvas. The Dhruva is so called because in it padas, words, varnas, melodic movements, alankara, musical ornaments, laya, temple, jati, melodic types, remember this, that be like the ragas, and panis, ways of beginning, are regularly dhruvam, connected with one another. So in the song, you have all these working at once. So that's why it's called the dhruva. So that's, you could say, the Vedic song is dhruvas. Like that. Does that make sense? And then they generally work within certain kind of things. But it's not that you couldn't do these others. It's just that people generally don't do. like that. And it's quite like the song Radhe Jai Jai Madhava Dayate. That's written in the Dhruva format. It's got, you know, four lines, you know, and then the second line is the Dhruva also. It's also that one that always comes back to it. The refrain or the chorus, like that. And then from there you can, yeah. Okay. 364 to 406. A little bit more gap here than in the last one, right?
It explains all the seven kind of truvas with examples, all details.
Okay. Occasions in connection with dhruvas are five. Namely, entrance, pravesha, departure, nishkrama, transition, antara, calming, prasadana, and diversion, akshepa. So those are the different times that you're going to bring in your songs and your music and all that kind of thing. Praveshiki, entrance. Themes of various sentiments sung at the entrance of persons onto the stage are called the Praveshiki Dhruva. Because that'll set who they are and what's going on or what's the scene. Because you may have the person, but you're studying the person at a particular time in a particular situation. So then the song should match that.
Yes.
Like that, you know? Nishkami ki, departure. When a dramatic performance at the end of acts, songs are sung at the exit of characters to indicate their going out. They are nishkami ki dhruvas. Antara, transition. Antara dhruvas were sung to divert the attention of the audience from some shortcomings of the performance, or when the principal characters became gloomy, absent-minded, angry, etc. So then someone's, you know, in the mood is becoming, you know, something that's not standard. You play this other thing to divert them from that. You know, because it has to be shown, because then they'll come back to their state, but you're taking it off and like that. Prasadiki, calming. The song after which sudden distraction calms the audience, who are enjoying a different sentiment, is called Prasadiki Dhruva, because it calms Prasadayati, their feeling. Prasadiki Dhruvas are sung for calming the audience after they have witnessed something which roused their feelings very much. Right, so there's one sentiment and then something comes up to change that, then you have to have something to calm those down. Like you remember in the sentiments, the sun trees come. Sun tree means, or what's it? Vyabhichari comes in into something different and then it has to equalize and then it changes into something else. So in other words, it's bringing out the sanchari aspect after the vyabhichari aspect is already hit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, but now that's come and then you're trying to take it into the next. Mm-hmm. Right? Akshepa, diversion. Akshepiki Dhruva was sung on occasions like ones being captured, obstructed, fallen, attacked with illness, dead or in a swoon. Right, so it's something that happens very strong, so you have to have something that will go with that. Mm-hmm. You know, because you have to hold the whole drama together, otherwise the mood changes so much, then you have to... I shall now speak about the occasion, sthana, together with the sentiments and states where all the dhruvas are to be sung carefully. Mm-hmm. The occasions are of our two kinds, namely relating to others and relating to one's own self. Right, so when to speak is something about, because I think to yourself means the hero, no? And or to others. So then when it's about themselves, that may be a time for it, or when it's about somebody else. So that way you'll get two ways that you'll use the dhruva. You know, there's some kind of... Okay, well, I would get into this whole run out. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.